105.9 Academy FM.
Biz Connect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for your company this beautiful spring afternoon at Academy FM for the Biz Connect radio show with myself, Martin Watt, and my fabulous co-host,
Tracy Westall.
Tracy, you're back in the studio.
I am, and I don't know what you're saying about this lovely spring weather because it's throwing it down with rain.
I'm trying to be optimistic.
All I can say is at least I got in the studio before the heavens opened.
The glass is always half full of rain.
Of course. But no, it is very nice to see the daffodils out, one of my favourite flowers.
Oh, they're lovely, aren't they?
Spring is here, summer's on its way.
Oh, can't wait,
I can't wait.
And I think from the 12th of April, we'll be able to sit in a pub beer garden with friends.
Fabulous.
And have a drink.
You'll have to find your friends again.
Oh, might even have to dig out an umbrella for that one, I think. But Tracy, we've got a great show lined up for our listeners today. Tell us, who have we got on the show today?
Yes, we've got Joanne Bell from Bell's Accountants. Lovely to have her back on the show. And obviously Adrian Dante from Opus. So it's going to be a really fun-packed show with lots of finance bits and pieces going on.
Yes, brilliant. Good. And we've got a little bit of business news to read out as well. We've got some events that people might be interested in.
Yep.
So I think what we'll do without further ado is we will play a little bit of music and we'll be straight back after this.
Fabulous.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody, and thank you again for joining us today. We've got, as Tracy was saying before the break, we've got a packed show today. We've got Joanne Bell from Bell's Accountants with us. We've got Adrian Dante from Opus Restructuring and Insolvency with us. So we've got very much a finance theme to the show today. But Tracy, I think what we'll do is we'll just start by talking about a couple of initiatives that came out of the budget. Week before last, was it?
Yeah, on the third
of March,
yeah, that's right. One of the things, because we've been looking at the grants fund and everything else, there is going to be one where, you know, there's a restart grant, which basically Rishi Sunak announced a $5 billion restart grant scheme for small businesses that have been affected by COVID-19. Now, these come up in several sections as well, depending on where your business is. So restart grant worth about £18,000 for the largest businesses will help shops, pubs, hotels and other small businesses try and get through till June 21, where they will be starting to open. There is also the restart grant scheme. I mean, it's going to be administered by the local councils, so it's not going to be a central government thing. It's going to be a bit like some of the other additional restriction grants have been administered. And if you're in a non-essential retail business, then you could get up to £6,000 per premises through the restart grant scheme, just to really help you reopen. Shops will reopen no earlier than the 12th of April, as long as this government roadmap continues in the way that we're hoping it's going to.
So this restart grant is there to help businesses reopen, get back on their feet immediately, you know, that they're allowed to reopen.
Exactly. I mean, you've got to look at some of these businesses. They've not been open for a very, very long time. I mean, in Kent, we have been in lockdown since November. So if you're a store that deals in, foodstuffs and things like that, you're going to need some cash somewhere to start getting your stock in. It's about getting the stock in, getting it being able to open so you can actually...
So working capital, critically.
Yeah, it's just making sure you've got the cash there to be able to open, and it means that you've got the stock there.
Because non-essential retail... plus gyms can open from the 12th of April, can't they?
I believe so. And, I think that, the accommodation, the hospitality, the leisure, the personal care, the gyms, they're going to be affected by the restrictions. And actually, they can receive up to £18,000 depending... Now, this is depending on their rateable value of the premises to which they are located.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, you know, there's a non-essential retail businesses. Mm. So they're the ones that are not the shops or anything like that.
Well, it's everything on your high street that isn't currently open, effectively.
Exactly.
Mm.
Now, they can get up to £6,000 per premises through this restart grant. Mm-hmm. So we just really need to make sure that we keep our eyes peeled on all of these things.
I think that's the key thing, isn't it? Because... I mean, there was an article that came out, I think, a couple of weeks ago now, talking about the fact that, you know, a lot of grant funding support had gone to local authorities, but not necessarily been distributed. And obviously there are a lot of problems, if you think about it from a local authority point of view, trying to contact business owners whose premises are actually shut at the moment. Because all they have, obviously, is a business correspondence address.
Yeah. Mm.
So, but what I think business owners can do is take the initiative here.
Yeah.
And actually contact their local authority, their local council, and say, look, you know, I am one of these businesses, and put yourself on their radar so that when this grant program does eventually feed through, you know, you won't be overlooked. And I think that's, for me, part of the problem with, you know, how these local authority grants have been administered today is that, you know, business owners haven't been... As proactive as they might have been in terms of, you know, frankly, you know, make a nuisance of yourself.
Yeah.
You know, tell your local council how you've been affected by COVID in terms of trading.
Mm.
And make sure that you know, that you get some money. Because it's there to help you.
Exactly. And I know that the local authority to which we're under, they send out a newsletter.
Mm.
And then they'll send out an email when you're be able to apply for the next stage, the next grant. Yes, I'd had a conversation with them actually last week, and they're looking at all the different ways they can help those that they haven't been able to help in the February grant.
Right. So what, this is your local authority in Maidstone, isn't it? Right. Okay,
yeah.
Where your business is.
So I know that the guys at local authority level are having a very rough time because obviously they're trying to incorporate as many different businesses as possible.
Mm.
But the thing is obviously they need to be able to be in contact with you guys and need to know exactly if you're being excluded from any of this, why you've been excluded, and readdress that with your local authority. So when they have their meeting about how they're going to distribute it next month, then least that your situation can be on the table for consideration.
I think that's another good point. You know, don't take no as the final answer.
No.
Because quite often these things are administered through, you know, an online form via a council website, and you just get, you know, a computer says no kind of answer.
Exactly.
Well, do not take no as the final answer, because there's been a lot of instances where the FSB have got involved, for example, where local MPs have got involved to actually argue your case on your behalf, and money has actually been forthcoming.
Exactly.
So keep a lookout for the restart grant that will be coming down the pipe, but also... there will be a new wave of discretionary grants and funding that's also coming down the pipe, because the Chancellor announced another £425 million of discretionary grant funding there as well. Now, this is for businesses that aren't necessarily non-essential retail on a high street, for example, but they are nevertheless there for businesses that have been affected adversely in terms of trading by the COVID restrictions. So again, you know, if your turnover, you know, as a limited company, for example, has suffered, you know, as a result of COVID, then you may well qualify for a local discretionary grant. So again, you know, keep your eyes peeled on your local council website.
Yeah.
And, you know, it be proactive. That's the key thing.
I think being proactive, there's a lot of places. I mean, obviously, you know, I'm an area lead for FSB in Kent and Medway. So there's a huge amount of information on the FSB website. So please, it doesn't even matter, even if you're not a member of the FSB. All this information is there.
Yep.
You'll be able to be guided and signposted to the right places. But, you know, don't lose faith.
Mm.
That's the big thing.
Mm.
We're nearly at the end.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that if you are not in business, but you shop locally and you support your small businesses, especially when they start to reopen, please support your small businesses, because they are so imperative to our economy.
Mm.
it is going to be a huge, huge deal for these guys when they reopen.
Yeah.
And if you can support them locally, on a local level, mm-hmm. then please do so. Mm-hmm. It'll be amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think we'll leave the kind of the budget there in terms of those two key initiatives, because Joanne, I know, who's coming on, is going to talk more about some of the specifics that were in the budget in terms of, you know, what small businesses need to be aware of. What did you want to just...
I just wanted to add, actually, because it's on the bottom here. It says the planned increases for alcohol duty will be frozen. So no increases on any booze. So happy days. There's, you know, that's your glass half full.
That used to be the sum total of the budget, didn't it? And this year we're going to add 3 pence to
a
pint of beer and 10 pence to a packet of cigarettes. That used to be it.
Yeah. That and petrol, I think everybody was more important than anything else. But this year is about all the initiatives that the government really, really need to do and put in place to make sure that our economy comes back fighting.
That was what the budget was all about, wasn't it? Very much so. Yeah, good. Right, Tracy, I think we'll leave it there. We're going to play a little bit more music.
Lovely.
And then when we come back, we're going to focus in on some of the kind of the local business events and news that are kind of happening at the moment. So join us straight after this.
105.9 Academy FM.
Biz Connect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Well, welcome back, everybody. And we're going to go through some of the community stuff that's been highlighted, and we're going to start promoting. With Joanne Bell going to be on the show today, she's actually going to be doing a women's wealth seminar with the Rebecca Robertson. And that's going to be on Wednesday, the 24th of March. It's going to be all about this free webinar is going to be all about the financially astute women, and they're going to be sharing their top tips and ideas on managing your money. So join in, you know, and it's a free event. It's on Eventbrite, but also you can find all the details on the supplymybusiness.co.uk website.
On our community page.
On your community page.
So you might perhaps be an aspiring female entrepreneur, and you've got aspirations to earn millions of pounds.
Yes, pay yourself more, retire early.
Yes, and Rebecca and Joanne are going to tell you how you can achieve that. So it should be quite interesting.
It should be a really good good event there. Yeah,
I might pop along myself, Trace. I might have to put some lipstick on, but.
Well, yeah, you might have to shave your beard, but apart from that,
we've got another good friend, haven't we, who likes to dress up in women's clothing, but we won't go there today. Another thing that's happening this week is the Marsh Network. So that's with Terry Botfield, very successful networking group, normally held face-to-face down in New Romney, and I'm sure they'll be getting back to that at some point in the future. But at the moment, it's online. It's a Zoom meeting. It's Wednesday, 10:30 a.m. Normally finishes at about midday. And I think they're up to about sort of 35 people now for those meetings. So that's really good. Mm. You can also go free for the first time. If it's your first time, just contact Terry Botfield at TD Botty on the Twitter. Nice, easy one to remember. Or again, you can find all of those details on the Supply My Business community page.
Brilliant. Excellent. And yet again, we're going to have the free business startup workshop for all of those in the Hastings, Bexhill and Sidley area who are considering the self-employment or aiming to start a new business straight off the ground. This is being run again by Let's Do Business as part of the CHART programme. They've been doing, I think this might be the fourth one they're doing.
They're regulars now.
Mm-hmm. So this program consists of four lots of 2.5 hour online sessions on Zoom, and you're going to have an expert coach in Lisa Young there. There's loads of other things going on with these workshops. They're so well presented, especially the second one halfway through, which is what I present. It's amazing. but everybody else is getting involved in Let's Do Business startup workshop. It's an amazing event. I've met up with some really, really great inspiring entrepreneurs for the future with some really fantastic ideas and business ideas for the future. So
£750 worth of free support there for businesses.
Yeah, but I know.
You do have to be in one of those. This particular initiative is for East Sussex businesses specifically.
That's
isn't it?
Right. That
you
was
do
what
have
I was going
to
say.
Be within one of those areas.
Yeah. But by all means, if it's something you are not in that area, but are interested in thinking about doing something, by all means, please do get in touch with the Let's Do Business group because they do other things as well. This is all running from April, so it's every Wednesday from the 7th, the 14th, the 21st and the 28th of April.
And you have to register by... When is it?
Apply by the 31st of March
right,
to get the support you're going to need. So it's by the end of the month. All you're going to need is your desktop computer or a laptop, tablet or mobile phone so you can access Zoom. Again, this information is on the supplymybusiness.co.uk website community page, but you can also have a look at it from Eventbrite or even contact Let's Do Business Group
directly. Yeah, brilliant. There's just one other thing I think we'll read out, Tracy, and that is entitled co-location.
No.
Yes. So there's an awful lot of businesses at the moment that are downsizing. They're going from sort of one big office perhaps to lots of different satellite offices.
Yeah.
Or they're just going from one big office to a much smaller office because, you know, half the workforce will only ever be in at any one time, for example. So that's how businesses are kind of thinking about restructuring moving forwards. Now, obviously, one of the key things you're going to need to be able to do is put your IT infrastructure somewhere. And the Cyberfort Group, they've actually got a data centre just outside Sandwich, actually, in Ash, an old World War II bunker. They're offering you the opportunity to take a look around their premises on a virtual tour.
Wow.
So, and that's very much geared around co-location and actually having them manage your IT infrastructure using their infrastructure within their totally secure Cold War bunker. So you can find out all the information again about that tour and take that tour online through the Supply My Business website, supplymybusiness.co.uk. Again, it's on the community page. Or have a look at the Cyberfort Group, cyberfortgroup.com. Have a look at their website. And if that's something that you're considering as a business owner, then again, you know, as with the workshops, you know, book yourself on to a free event and have a look before you make any kind of decisions there.
Brilliant.
Good. Tracy, I think we'll leave it there.
We're going to play another tune.
We're going to play a little bit more music.
Fabulous.
And then when we come back, we're going to talk to Joanne Bell from Bell's Accountants. Join us after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody, and thank you for joining the BizConnect radio show today with myself, Martin Watt, and my fabulous co-host,
Tracy Westall.
Tracy, we've got our first guest on the line, haven't we? Who have we got on the phone?
We have. We've got the lovely Joanne Bell from Bell's Accountants. Hi, Jo. How are you?
Hi, Tracy, Martin. I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Brilliant. Welcome to our show. It's so good to have you here today. And I know we're going to be talking about quite a lot of different things within finance and things that have been going on. Obviously, we've just done a little quick recap of some of the things that's happened in the budget. But what's been going on in your world?
Well, we've had an interesting year, really. I mean, we've been blessed that we've still had an income because obviously people have needed us more than they ever have in regards to giving them the support they've needed through COVID, making sure they know about all the grants and loans and things like that that's available to them. Our issue has obviously been the increased workload. We've needed to support clients and answer all those questions, as well as claiming furlough for people, making sure that's all done on a timely basis. And we haven't really been able to obviously charge extra money for all those things because people at the moment are not in a position to pay for that. And the added challenge is just having everyone working from home, really. We're quite a close-knit team. We're used to all being together, having pizza, cake and tea in the office. So, yeah, managing everyone remotely has been a bit of a challenge. People have felt quite isolated, I think, with everything they have to do.
Because I guess normally, Jo, you know, things run... you know, pretty smoothly to a sort of a process and a system, don't they? I mean, things like payroll, for example, you mentioned the furlough scheme. You know, once that's set up for a client, it kind of runs itself in many ways, doesn't it, I guess? But, you know, with kind of continual changes to furlough and it's stopping and starting and then kind of start, you know, stopping and starting again, I guess you've had to kind of, you've really had to handhold clients and work with them on a kind of monthly basis, if you like, to reconcile all of that.
We found it quite a challenge and quite unsettling to some extent, because normally in accountancy, you know, tax changes annually, really, maximum. So you have the budget and then we all sit down and we do all our training and we make sure we know what we need to do for clients in terms of planning for the following year. But this has been changing on a, you know, weekly, sometimes daily basis.
Yes.
And clients expect you to be in the know straight away. We've had, you know, 50, 60 emails within 10 minutes of Rishi's latest announcement. And, you know, you're trying to unravel it and all the detail and trying to understand who would be eligible and who wouldn't. But, of course, it's their, you know, their urgent need for help. They need to know as early as possible if they're eligible for anything.
And it's interesting also listening to you saying that you didn't feel you could necessarily charge for that additional work either.
No, I mean, we did make a nominal charge for processing furlough claims purely because of the sheer number that we had. It was almost a full-time job for somebody, so we needed to recover our costs on that front. We didn't charge anything at all for any advice and support or for going through with individuals, you know, what help was out there. But with the actual furlough claims, we did make a small charge.
Well, just tell us a little bit about Bells, as a group of companies, because obviously, you know, Bells Accountants are one kind of trading name that you operate under, but you've also acquired practices over the years, haven't you, which is interesting, and people may actually know your business as another name. So just talk us through some of that, Joe.
That's right. Oh, you make me sound a bit covert there, Martin. I'm hiding behind aliases. But no, I know exactly what you mean. So I started Bells back in 2009. It was just me sort of picking up records from people's houses, doing tax returns and bits. And we grew quite quickly over the next kind of 8-9 years. And then it was 4 years ago when we did our first acquisition. So the growth is really a combination of organic growth and all the kind referrals clients make, but we've also purchased the practices of some retiring practitioners, which has spread our reach quite a lot further, which means we're now over Surrey, Kent and London. So there are two practices that still trade under their individual names. One is Pomfrey Accountants in Bexley and Omar & Company in Eltham. And both of those are now part of the Bells Group. But because there was so much goodwill attached to the name and so much search online, we've decided to keep those names and, you know, the team really identify with them. So that's where we are now.
Fantastic. So when you're looking at a business like that from a sort of an acquisition point of view, and again, you know, despite everything we've kind of been going through over the last 12 months, acquisitions have actually been quite high on the agenda of some larger businesses out in the marketplace. So what are you looking at in terms of, you know, actually, yes, they're a good fit for us, or perhaps they're not such a good fit for us? What are the kind of some of the key considerations for you there, Joe?
Absolutely, that's a really good question. So we tend to look at it a bit like a property. So we are looking for a practice where we can make some improvements, ideally. And that's not to say, you know, that it's not a good, well-run practice in the first place, but we're quite digital and quite modern in our approach. So we tend to find we can implement new software and databases that can help us to provide a more proactive service to the clients, really. Lots of accountants look for acquisitions where they can just bolt in, so they're looking for ones where they do everything the same as them already, whereas we're quite prepared to put that work in to make them fit, you know, and help implement the various systems that we've got in place. But the main thing it comes down to for us is the people. You know, we're very much a people practice. We want to make sure that the team that we're taking on that's becoming part of our team has a similar culture, similar values, wants to serve the clients in the way we like to serve them. And if they're willing, then there's nothing that you can't overcome in terms of systems, you know.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And you mentioned that obviously you're spread now over sort of quite a large sort of geographical area, albeit sort of southeast focused. And in terms of, you know, businesses being able to go back to the workplace, Tracy and I were talking in the first part of the show about the 12th of April being a key date, and I know that's a key date in your diary as well. What has been kind of your thought process in terms of, well, you know, do we go back to the workplace or do we kind of continue to work from home as you are at the moment? What are kind of some of the key considerations for you from that point of view, Joe?
So obviously a key consideration is the safety of the staff. We're very conscious of that. We want everyone to feel comfortable and safe when they come back. But we are confident that we are able to provide a COVID-safe environment in our offices. So we're personally keen to get back as soon as we can. Reasons for that really is the general sort of camaraderie. January is a very busy time for us, and I feel that the team struggled a lot more than they normally do because they just didn't have each other. And we were saying earlier about having tea and cake and pizzas in the office when you're working late, you know, it helps keep people going really. So to not have that, I think has been quite isolating for people. And the other element is training, you know. Yes, of course it's possible to do training over Zoom and online, but it doesn't feel as personal. We've also found it's very time consuming because one of the challenges is that you can, if you're training say via a screen share, all you can do is that training, whereas normally if you're sitting next to someone you crack on with your own work and they ask you a question and you go, oh yeah, that's there, and you can kind of keep going, whereas doing it over Zoom you tend to find you're spending all your time doing training. So I think for the purposes of, you know, improving and keeping our team in the know of everything, it will be easier once we're back, and for customer service purposes as well. We want the clients to be able to ring up and get passed straight through to the person they want to speak to, rather than having to wait for a call back because that person's at home or their internet's gone down or whatever other logistical challenge they've got.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I think, you know, there's a bit of an assumption, I think, in the workplace at the moment, that, you know, people won't be going back to their offices in the same way that you know they used to work. But for you, for your business, actually it's important that you do bring people back and that you kind of go back to doing business the way you used to, because that's the way it actually works for you. That's the important thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's also work-life balance from the team. I too have been surprised by how many people have said that they don't intend to go back, and I don't know if that's because they're looking purely on the basis of productivity, because certainly I would say productivity has maintained, if not improved, with people at home. But I actually think that's because people have lost some of their work-life balance. There's no division anymore, whereas before, you know, you'd leave the office at 5 o'clock or whatever and then you'd go home and be with your family. Now that temptation's there because your desk's on the kitchen table or whatever. Oh, I'll just log in and check my emails for tomorrow. And you know, I've seen messages flying around at night, and I think people are very, very tired and struggling to maintain the balance they need working from home.
Yeah, so there's definitely a some burnout out there, I think. I mean, I experience it, you know, myself. You know, if I do too many Zoom calls in a week, I find it, you know, quite shattering, actually. You know, having to concentrate that hard on a computer screen for an hour or more, I actually find really, really draining.
Zoom fatigue, I think they call it.
Yeah, there's no break from it, is there? That's the thing. You know, you are stuck in front of that you know, that screen, whereas like if you're having a conversation with a colleague, I guess you can, you know, well, should we go and grab a coffee, you know, and or maybe just stand outside and, you know, take in some fresh air for 10 minutes or so. It's quite restrictive, isn't it? In many ways.
And I completely understand what you're saying about training. This is, funny enough, this was a conversation we were having in our business, because obviously we do a lot of training. And we're finding that a lot of people just feel as if they've, now they're at home on their own, they can't just turn around to somebody and go, I've got this query, what would you do? You know, because they're all at home, they're having to deal with these things, and a lot of confidence that has just been shattered in some areas. And I think that coming back to an office environment and feeling part of that connection, that family connection in business, that makes people feel a lot better and a lot happier. But it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it is. I think it's going to be fascinating, isn't it? Joe, we should also mention very quickly that obviously you do have wider interests outside of your kind of accountancy practice. I believe you're a budding property developer. Is that right as well?
I am indeed, yes. I've always had an interest in property. It's actually my specialism in terms of accountancy as well, is property tax. You know, lots of people now moving their portfolios into limited companies, and there's lots of tax advantages to that. So it is something I've always been interested in, but I'm looking to put that into practice as well. So I've got a couple of standard buy-to-lets and a house of multiple occupancy, and I've enjoyed those projects, you know, in terms of doing the development work as well as making sure you're making money on the rentals and things.
You haven't built your own property yet then? That's still to come, is it?
Not yet. My partner's done that, actually. Uh-huh. Yeah, he's done a new build, but I think the stress that he went through has probably put me off, to be honest, for the foreseeable. It was not an easy project. It's exactly like you see on Grand Design.
Yes.
It's never on time. It never runs to budget. Mm-hmm. Quite a stressful process.
Fascinating. But you're also up for an award at the moment as well, I believe. You're up for, is it a top 50 women in accounting? You've been nominated for that award. So tell us a little bit about that.
That's right. Oh, that's timely, actually, because they announced it this morning and I did make it into the top 50.
Oh,
so.
Well done.
Wow.
Good.
Yeah, that was really exciting me because that's my first sort of international accreditation, which is really nice. It's a worldwide award. So there are lots of candidates from Australia and Canada and America. And it's run by a company called Practice Ignition, who provide software and things for accountants. But they have put up this award for top 50 women in accountants. I think they do it every year, but it's always linked into International Women's Day. So it's really nice to have that recognition in kind of a male-dominated industry.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, congratulations there. Fantastic. Great job. Yeah. Joe, I think what we're going to do now, we're going to play a little bit of music, and then when we come back after the break, we'll talk about some of the key points, perhaps, that were in the budget week before last, and what your advice to businesses is at the moment in terms of, you know, taking advantage of some of the kind of programs and grants and things that have been outlined in that. So bear with us, and we'll be straight back after this.
105.9 Academy FM.
BizConnect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world. Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Welcome back again, everybody. I'm delighted to say that we've got Joanne Bell with us on the phone at the moment from Bell's Accountants. Jo, lovely to have you with us today.
Thanks for having me, Martin.
If we can, Jo, I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the points that came out of the budget on the 3rd of March in terms of support that's on offer for businesses at the moment, and also hear from you about some of the kind of the perhaps out of the box success stories that you've obviously been talking about in terms of businesses that you've been working with as well. So just give us an overview, if you could, at the moment, Jo, for, you know, what was in the budget and what people kind of need to be aware of crucially.
Absolutely. So we were really pleased to hear that obviously a lot of the support that we were already aware of has been extended. So there's still an awful lot of scope for deferring any tax liabilities that you might have. Plus obviously the furlough scheme, those were kind of the two biggies. And then also the addition of this new government-backed loans as well, because we were all under the impression that CBILS was going to be ending at the end of March and that there possibly wouldn't be any alternative for lending for companies, those who are looking to grow, as well as those who obviously need funding just to survive the various lockdowns that there are. So those extensions were very welcome news. And also, obviously, the additional grants and funding that are available via the council. We want to make sure that as many people as possible know about those and contact their councils to find out if they are eligible, because actually all the individual councils have been given different criteria in terms of where the funds are to be allocated. So it could be that there are people out there who think that they're not eligible because they don't have, you know, a large business premise or whatever, whereas actually they are. So well worth making a move on those and just to find out if there, that is something you could claim.
We mentioned that at the start of the show, didn't we, Tracy?
Yeah.
But also, Jo, I was just wondering, with the new government-backed loan programme, will that be tied to turnover as, you know, Bounce Back Loan has been, for example? I think you were able to borrow up to 20% of your previous year's or your latest year's accounts in terms of turnover. Is that going to be the case again?
Yes, I mean, definitely there are going to be some criteria. We are still waiting on full confirmation of what these new loans will involve, but assumably there will still be some affordability tests as there have been before, because they couldn't allow the lenders to deem what would be irresponsible lending by lending more than what was affordable in the good times, if you know what I mean. And it is a very difficult time, I think, for lenders to know what's affordable and what isn't, because clearly it's completely unprecedented, and all they've got to go on is figures that in a lot of cases are quite outdated.
And I guess the other thing that that you're going to have to keep your eye on with clients also is cash flow planning. And I know, Tracy, this is something very close to your heart. I mean, we've got you know, things like VAT deferral, for example, which is now unbelievably, you know, that's gone full circle, and that money is now due. And unless you've contacted HMRC and said, well, you know, I need to spread my payments over the next 12 months, for example, they're going to expect you to pay all of that back in one go, aren't they? So, you know, that's quite crucial.
That's right. I mean, businesses have got, I think, until the middle of June to make an application to spread those payments out. So it's very important they do that before that portal closes. Otherwise, they will end up having to pay in full, as you say.
But if you leave it till then, you know, you've missed an opportunity to spread it over March, April and May as well. You know, they're not going to do it retrospectively. They'll then take it from June and say, right, well, you've now got, you know, you've got 9 months to do it rather than 12.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I think, as you say, you know, cash flow is very, very important to businesses at the moment. And we have been doing an awful lot around letting our clients and our contacts know about all the government initiatives that are available. But the important thing, I think, is to look at your own business and the things that you can control. You know, there are only a few ways to improve your cash flow, really. And that is, you know, improving payment terms with suppliers, getting your customers to pay you quicker, or looking for other sources of income. So we have been working quite closely with clients who, I think, you know, Tracy's been talking about this for a long time with clients, and maybe they've not seen the necessity for it as much as they do now because of the difficult times. But it is in times like this where that cash is king. That's what's going to see you through. So we've seen clients doing all sorts of things, really innovative things, actually, and great positive stories. Things like catering companies who are doing deliveries of afternoon tea boxes and groceries. We've got an online gaming company that's doing really, really well, I assume, because everyone's at home playing online games where there's not much else to do. So he's managing, you know, actually investing that money and resourcing and all that sort of thing. That's another challenge if you have more business than you had before.
That's a really good point. So, you know, don't think of your business in its kind of traditional business model sense, in other words. You know, actively kind of look at other opportunities to take your product or service to your customers remotely is what you're saying, I guess, rather than, you know, relying on, you know, a business model that doesn't necessarily kind of fit the box at the moment in terms of the way we're all going about our daily lives. And also, you know, don't rely on government funding to you know, as the kind of be-all and end-all in terms of solution for your business either, I guess.
That's it. I mean, it has provided a bit of a crutch, but it's never going to give you the same, you know, level of income you were getting pre-COVID. And we ultimately don't know what the market's going to do or how long it's going to take for people to get their confidence back in restaurants and pubs and gyms and things like that. So there's lots of things we need to be looking at to make sure that the business will survive those times.
You're absolutely right there. I mean, there's a brilliant company called, I think they're called Wild Box Events. I think it's run by a lady called Laura. And I know Alex Gordon from Brayshire Solicitors is a big fan of hers, you know, and she's chairing the Kent Law Society at the moment. And what she does is she effectively creates a cocktail box. And, you know, you organise an event, you know, on a Thursday evening, for example, and then Laura supplies the cocktail boxes and teaches you how to make the cocktails on a Zoom kind of evening cocktail making event, which is fabulous, isn't it? I mean, it's so much fun.
Yeah, so, and I also like that, as you say, Joe, some of these businesses have thought, well, I will need to do something. And some of the ideas that come out of the hat are absolutely amazing. And he's been able to diversify, I think, a bit more. That's going to help businesses. But I mean, as you know, Joe, cash flow is definitely my big thing in life.
Well, I think customers and clients as well. One of the huge benefits of COVID, I think, is us realizing how much can be done online and done remotely. I mean, I've got a personal trainer to kind of try and lose my baby weight, and it was working really well, and I couldn't see a way it could work when we went into lockdown. I thought, well, I don't know about Zoom, you know, I haven't got any equipment or anything at home, but actually, you know, I stayed with it, and she started doing Zoom sessions with me, and it's been brilliant, you know. Nice. It's worked absolutely fine. I stand in my living room and I do my burpees and whatever else. He watches and makes sure that I'm safe and I'm doing everything correctly. And it's great because actually now I don't have to drive to a gym and park at a gym. And I've been able to do more sessions than probably I would have done beforehand. And from our perspective as well, with our clients, we've started attracting clients from all over the place, you know, as far as Cardiff. Because people now have gone, actually, I can submit my receipts through Receipt Bank to them, and we can have Zoom meetings, and I don't have to use an accountant because they're in my village or my town. I can actually be really selective and choose an accountant that I want to work with that's going to give me the proper advice. So that's been a benefit also, you know.
So you will retain that. So whilst you know your staff will migrate back to the office, and obviously you'll do that kind of gradually, you will retain some of these kind of wonderful things that we've been able to use, as you say, to make our business more productive. And why wouldn't you have an online meeting with somebody in Cardiff when, you know, the practicalities of doing that before, it just wouldn't have been possible, would it?
That's right. Yeah, the technology's really enabled us to sort of open our reach there and get to more clients, because that's our ultimate aim, is to help as many businesses as we can to understand their numbers and grow their businesses. And the fact that location is no longer as much of an issue is a real positive.
Brilliant. Well, Jo, look, it's been absolutely fabulous to have you on the show today. You are a real font of knowledge in terms of advice for businesses and business owners out there. It's been really, really great to have you with us. Just tell us how we can get in touch with Bells or Pomfrey's if we happen to be in the Dartford area, for example. What's the best way to kind of make contact with you guys and have an initial kind of exploratory meeting?
Of course. So all our information is on our website, which is www.bellsaccountants.co.uk, and there's details of all the individual sites on there. You can obviously phone into your local practice, or you can send an email to inquiries@bellsaccountants.co.uk, and we'll make sure that if you give us a brief overview of your requirements, you get passed through to a specialist in your field.
Brilliant.
Fabulous.
Jo, it's been super to have you with us. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me again. Brilliant to talk to you both, as always.
And you, Jo. Missed you.
And we look forward to hearing about all your future success as a key woman in accounting. So that sounds incredibly interesting. So I'm sure there'll be a press release on that very shortly. But for now, Joanne Bell, Bell's Accountants, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody, and I'm delighted to say that we've now got our second show guest on the line today, and that is Adrian Dante from Opus Restructuring and Insolvency. Adrian, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, thank you.
Great to have you with us. Tess, where are you today? Is it Maidstone?
Yes, I'm in the Maidstone office by myself, I hasten to add.
Is that because colleagues are sort of working remotely at the moment?
Yeah, we all are remotely working, but I actually prefer being in office. Being at home has its other challenges with other members of the household there.
Yes, of course. Well, it's interesting because we were talking to Joanne Bell from Bell's Accountants in the first part of the show. And she was telling us that actually she's really looking forward to being able to bring staff back into the office after the 12th of April, because as a business, they just function better that way. And I guess the same is for you guys as well.
Yeah, we're having the same, we're sort of adopting the same approach for that. And because a lot of the offices as well, even going back to last year, a lot of offices were made COVID secure, of course, weren't they?
Yeah.
And so all they need to do now is just to upgrade that a little bit and start getting people back in. But of course, there's still going to be a lot of people nervous about going, especially those that have to commute.
So, Adrian, just tell us by way of an introduction, what is restructuring? What is insolvency? Just in your own words, just give us a brief kind of introduction to that.
Well, obviously, it's something that obviously lots of people have been learning about and reading about over the last 12 months. A lot of businesses that have been in have been struck badly with the struck down with the with the COVID and in effect insolvency. As a lot of people know, there's two tests. You know, there's the first test is that not being able to meet liabilities as and when they fall due, and secondly, when there's when liabilities exceed assets on the balance sheet. But over a period of time, as time's gone on since the implementation of the 1986 Act, plus the it was updated in 2002 with the Enterprise Act, we've kind of like evolved where we've come up with more procedures and more tools to help businesses try to recover and to try and turn themselves around. Mm-hmm.
So as a business owner, you know, what is the most obvious warning sign for me that actually I need to talk to somebody like you because I think my business might be in financial trouble? It could be something as simple as not being able to pay the payroll in this particular month?
Well, yes. I mean, you're very close. It's basically, I always say, if you start running out of cash,
mm-hmm.
Because cash flow is so important, and as we say so often, cash is king, and if people stop paying you, then you can't pay your suppliers, and then you're going to have to start borrowing, and that's when you're getting embroiled in a vicious circle.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you talk about as a kind of an initial first step is something that you call a business review. So tell us a little bit about that in terms of how that works.
Yeah, what we can do is we can go in and we actually look at the current state of the business. You know, its productivity, its order book, its current borrowing, its level of staffing. Is there anything that we can actually reduce in terms of natural wastage?
Mm.
It doesn't necessarily mean cutting staff. That a lot of businesses immediately panic and say, "Oh, we must get rid of staff," because obviously that is one of the highest costs. But there's a lot of wasted cost that can be addressed.
Mm.
And also looking at the market you're operating in, and there are the specialists out there that can actually look at the market that you're in and to see if there's other routes to market or other areas of the market that you can exploit.
Mm. And would this conversation have come about through an introduction from an accountant, for example, in the first instance, or would a business owner come to you directly?
A bit of both, really. Mm. And recommendation, or it comes maybe through a banker. You know, we have that if you're on bank panels and other banks that are a bit concerned about their security.
Mm-hmm.
But do see that there may be a viable business there that probably just needs to be restructured or maybe perhaps even refinanced.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily have to be an insolvency procedure.
Yeah, because, I mean, a business might be paying over the odds, for example, to service its existing debt, and you may be able to consolidate that in some kind of new debt package that actually makes it so much more affordable for the business, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, you know, all the measures are there. You know, it's well documented.
Yeah.
The government measures that have been introduced over the last 12 months.
Mm.
But I'm sure that will make for another conversation.
Yeah. Mm. So you're very much, sounds to me like you're very much a sort of a business advisor in the first instance.
Yes.
You're there to sort of objectively and impartially look at a business, look at its balance sheet, look at its P&L, and say, actually, you know, in my opinion, based on my experience, I think you've actually got a viable business here.
Yes.
Have you thought about perhaps doing this in order to, you know, to have a much better cash flow position?
Absolutely. Try to improve the performance of the business.
Mm.
You know, try to create maybe some stronger foundations, ready for growth, maybe, or to deliver significant change to address the pressures that the business faces that we've just gone through.
I can see why you work so closely with accountants, because Joanne was talking about this again in the first part of the show. She was saying, you know, for a lot of her clients, it's been about, you know, looking at new business opportunities, if you like, to take their business into a new channel. For example, it might be home delivery or direct. You know, and not just necessarily relying on, you know, government grant funding at the moment to kind of get a business out of trouble. It's actually looking at opportunities to grow the business in a slightly different way.
Absolutely right. I mean, You know, often we work, you know, it's a combination of these areas that, you know, are working with the incumbent team to overcome issues that are holding them back. Then trying to assist them in development of a plan. I mean, a business plan is so important. I'm sure, I'm sure the accountants that you speak to on your show talk about a business plan to achieve the, you know, the profitability or sustained profitability and sustainable growth.
Now, assuming that, assuming it is bad, though, and sadly, obviously, in a lot of instances, you know, you simply cannot save a business. Perhaps they've come to you too late. You haven't been able to have this conversation with them early enough. And I guess that's one of the kind of the key things there. But assuming, you know, a business isn't ultimately, you know, savable, if you like, in inverted commas, there's a number of different options open, I guess, to business owners, isn't there? So, you know, do we start with administration and go from there? Or what's the starting point?
We could start with an independent business review, which we just touched on. Some lenders insist on an independent business review to actually, and this is instigated, you know, with the you know, with the management of the company, looking to assess the financial health and operational capabilities of the company, and then if we conclude that there is no option to avoid being able to save the company, we can move to some sort of rescue procedure. It doesn't necessarily mean that we have to close the doors and liquidate, which is of course is the last resort. And you've just touched on administration, which again, it's well documented. Everybody knows about administration, and of course the concept of a pre-pack administration, which is currently subject to government review, and especially administration sale and purchase agreements with what we call connected parties, which have come under the spotlight in recent years and has attracted a lot of negative publicity. So now the government are trying to introduce some measures whereby there's some sort of independent review that's done prior to any deal that's agreed. But again, that's still in the consultation period, although from what I understand, I think the cut-off point is the 30th of April. Some IPs are criticising it, not being thought through properly. So there should be, there may well be a few tweaks along the way. So it's worth keeping an eye out for that. Or the other option, which again has been used quite a lot in recent years, is the company voluntary arrangement procedure, which obviously that the main crux of that is that The directors or the board stay in control of the business, but is supervised by an insolvency practitioner. So basically all the debt is ring-fenced, put to one side, and if it's a viable business and it can stand on its own 2 feet going forward, it can carry on trading and repaying over a period of time. Now, you've probably seen the high street chains and the food chains and the retail outlets using the CVAs, but they've been used in the context of doing deals with landlords on empty units and unprofitable units, which again have come under severe criticism because landlords are saying they're unfair. But of course, you know, it's a case of these businesses shrinking. But of course, that does leave rather large empty spaces in the high street.
So, I mean, we should say that there's a number of options open to businesses, you know, having gone through an initial business review. I mean, the one thing that struck me was your website was actually incredibly thorough in terms of explaining what these different options are. So just give us a quick shout out for your website, Adrian. What is the Opus website address?
Yeah, it's Opus opuslp.com.
Yeah.
www.opuslp.com and it's got, as you say, it's comprehensive. You know, it talks about, and then it moves on to the more well-known and obvious procedures, the creditors voluntary liquidation. These procedures are used for the responsible director when the director realizes that They can't continue to trade. Mm. They don't want to worsen the position. And they have to then call it a day and cease trading. And of course, the other side of that is what we call the compulsory liquidation. Mm. I always construe them as a hostile procedure because it effectively it's forcing a creditor to issue a winding up petition. Mm. And this often happens when a director allows a company to drift. Mm. Doesn't do anything about it. But again, we have government protection, which is due to end on the 31st of March. But I've not seen anything to the contrary about extending that. Mm. I'll be glad to hear if anybody can update me. But I haven't seen anything yet that's going to extend. So we could see a bit of an avalanche of winding up petitions being heard, going right back to pre-March 2020.
Brilliant. Adrian, I think what we're going to do now, we're going to play a little bit of music and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about some of the post-lockdown challenges, if you like, for businesses and your advice for business owners in terms of how to get their business back on their feet properly. So stay with us and we'll be straight back after this.
105.9 Academy FM.
BizConnect. Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world. Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm delighted to say that we've now got Adrian Dante with us from Opus Restructuring and Insolvency. Adrian, great to have you on the show today.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Adrian, we were talking about some of the kind of the key steps, if you like, in terms of you guys helping businesses through a business review, for example, and then deciding what the best course of action might be for a business that's actually struggling in the marketplace. But of course, you know, there is a flip side to this, which is, you know, a lot of business owners simply want to retire and close their business, and so they're actually, you know, still trading very much as a solvent company, if you like, but they just want to wind it up. And I guess there's a process for that as well, isn't there?
Yes, that's absolutely right. I mean, there was prior to the Chancellor's budget last week, there were rumours around certain tax hikes, one of them being capital gains tax, which would affect companies. And so there was a bit of a surge, if you like, in members voluntary winding up, which are effectively solvent winding ups. And that's the most tax efficient way for business owners, shareholders to get their money back out. And it's often used when a company comes to the end of its natural life, shareholders want to go their separate ways, or a contract has come to an end, and rather than pay themselves dividends and paying, which obviously which attracts more tax, the way to do it is to go through a members voluntary liquidation. And in fact, they're still going on, you know, they're still coming on now, because I've had some inquiries just in the last couple of days, saying that some directors, they're still, concerned about the future, and is it a time now just to stop, maybe retire, maybe do something completely different?
Yeah. So that's a much more tax efficient way, ultimately, to take the value that's in the business out of the business and enable, the shareholders to walk away, basically.
Absolutely. Yeah. There is another option as well, that there are lots and lots of interested parties, investors out there now, not just in distressed businesses, but I have been involved in selling solvent businesses where people, investors have really liked the business and think, well, we could take that on and kind of add it to our existing business.
Yes.
And shareholders sometimes of the selling business get more value that way as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Joanne again was talking about that in the first part of the show. She herself has acquired other firms of accountants, for example, like Pomfrey's in Dartford, she was talking about, example, and she's actually retained the name in that instance, because there was value and goodwill in the name. So you're right, there's a kind of a whole acquisition side to this as well, isn't there, with other businesses wanting to buy. So it's important, I think, to kind of explore all the options, isn't it, yeah. ultimately, and sit down with someone like yourself, as you said, and have that initial, you know, business review. Let's talk about the business. Let's talk about what the business looks like.
Yeah.
And ultimately, what do you want to do with it? Because I think that's it comes down to that, doesn't it? You know, what do the shareholders want to do? You know,
absolutely. You know, and when we look long term, if we can, we're all going to look at that. What the end of lockdown is going to mean for businesses.
Yes.
It's difficult. It's we don't have a crystal ball, but with professionals and with professional help, it will avoid directors and the usual pitfalls, because taking advice is key. Even in, should we say, normal times, documenting advice saves a lot of problems further down the line.
And definitely. I think that's an important point to get across as well, isn't it? We're talking about practical business advice here that has a value.
Oh, most definitely. You know, cash is king.
Yeah.
It's been said with Joe, it's been said with Adrian, cash is king, you know, and you need to make sure you get the right help at the right places.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, at the moment we've got to look at, obviously we are following the data, we hear that many times, but the message from the government is that we've got to try and plot our way out of a third national lockdown and a COVID-19 pandemic, which has disrupted lives and businesses. And I can't begin to think that the government will want to go back again. In fact, obviously, the Prime Minister has said, you know, it's going to be irreversible. So businesses have got to start planning now. This is the opportunity now. I know we've said it 6 months ago, but now is the opportunity now, between now and, say, the autumn, is to start to think about how we're going to move forward.
Yeah. And people need to get over this stigma, I think, that's the right word, associated with the terms, you know, restructuring and insolvency.
That's absolutely right.
Because, you know, you are here to hold business owners' hands, shareholders' hands, and really just put all the options on the table for them.
Absolutely. I mean, this is the time now. There's, you know, at the moment we are, you know, there is creditor forbearance, and the government have obviously helped with that, with the protection that they put in place. But going forward, there's going to have to be more creditor forbearance, because otherwise businesses are just going to fold left, right, and centre.
Yeah.
You know, and this is all for all stakeholders of the business, whether it's the lenders and the shareholders.
Mm. Yeah. But the other thing, I guess, we need to, you know, and certainly the government need to have an eye on is fraud. You know, we've already, you know, heard instances of you know, people taking out fraudulent bounce back or coronavirus business interruption loan scheme loans, and using the money.
This is going to be a very, very hot topic, even hotter than it is now. I mean, you know, the government, because obviously the uptake of CBILS wasn't quite happening, so they introduced very quickly the bounce back loan concept. But as we know, all you have to do is just fill out some sort of declaration and you get up to £50,000. Of course, you know, people have been treating that like it's free money. And of course, that's not free money. It has to be repaid. Yes, the government now has introduced, you know, pay as you go, as you recover, up to 10 years. But there's been a lot of fraudulent activity. I think the Chancellor announced last week that he's introducing a task force. I think it's mainly to do with maybe perhaps the furlough scheme. In fact, I've had an instruction only recently where the HMRC have written to the company suspecting a fraud on the job retention scheme. So I think we're going to see that really accelerate, because it's like anything. I think where there's a bit of a panic and things not thought through, but trying to help businesses, there's people out there that have taken advantage of this and use the money for, shall we say, non-business purposes.
Yeah, where there's money, there's crime. Yeah,
yes,
absolutely.
Absolutely right.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because and we were talking about them. Tracy, you mentioned the new scheme that's coming in at the end of March to replace both of those loan programs.
Yeah, the restart
kind of loan program. Is that what it's called? Restart loan.
The new recovery loan scheme.
That's it. It'd be interesting to see if the government, Adrian, looked to tailor that slightly differently to avoid some of these problems.
There is going to be introduced some personal guarantees, I believe up to £250,000, but then it does come down to the bank criteria. But my own personal opinion on this, and it is my only opinion, is that lots of businesses have had to borrow money just to stay closed. And what my concern is that when they start to open up, what are they going to use to open up with? How are they going to buy their stock? You know, how are they going to pay what they need to pay going forward? And, and at the same time, they're saddled with debt that they've accumulated since lockdown. That's my biggest my biggest question, biggest concern.
Keeping a business going was actually, you know, under lockdown, was actually a relatively straightforward thing to do for many people. You just borrowed money. You put staff on furlough and you mothballed the business.
I mean, you know, everybody's got a different opinion on this. You know, with the furlough scheme, which obviously was a real, you know, lifesaver, and I think, you know, obviously some sectors have suffered more than others, and you just wonder with hindsight whether or not the furlough scheme could have been tailored in a different way, where the sectors that suffer the most kind of come out, you know, have a furlough to support them. You know, the longest. For example, I think we all know the hospitality and the entertainment business is probably going to be the last, you know, the last sector to recover, and perhaps a little bit more help there is. Well, it may well still happen. We don't know.
So just to kind of just to summarise, then, I mean, you know, what's your advice to business owners at the moment to kind of, you know, think about how they're going to get their business back on their feet? I mean, you talked about the need for working capital, for example, once a business opens up again. How should a business actually sort of go about planning, you know, what they're going to need, if you like, in order to order stock, bring staff back and everything else? What's your kind of advice to businesses?
Well, I mean, the first thing they've got to do, they've got to put together a new business plan, some sort of like cash flow, some sort of P&L forecast, which they can work with their accountants on, and if need be, they can then work with insolvency practitioners and corporate recovery specialists, then to actually implement that, speak to their creditors, maybe put a plan together. It doesn't have to necessarily be a formal plan. It can be informal, to ask for further time to pay, whether it's 6 months or 12 months. I mean, it does depend what kind of business that you're in, but there's going to have to be patience and there's going to have to be trust on both sides.
Yeah.
I mean, there were a lot of businesses will survive. Let's not be too downbeat about this, but there will be a lot of businesses that will need help, and sadly there will be businesses that won't be able to survive.
But I guess the key thing is,
sometimes a business may need even to restart, but again, that's got to be carefully addressed, because obviously perception of directors buying assets back, you know, and debts being left behind, you know, doesn't sit well with creditors, as we know, pre-COVID.
And I mean, I think with this new restart grant, and it's a grant that's going to come out from the local authorities, I think the businesses also need to sit back and think, right, if I'm going to get this grant, what is the best way for me to utilise that money to open the doors to start getting my cash flow back up and running?
Use it wisely.
And I think that, you know, maybe the loans weren't used as wisely as they could have been, and it was all panic.
Well, I mean, it's difficult, because obviously we didn't have anything to compare it with. You know, the last major recession, I wouldn't even say 2008-2009 was. I think that was more of some people call it a phony recession, because it was a banking crisis. But you have to go back, you know, 30 years back to the early 90s. And of course, the other issue that's just creeping in at the moment is that there's going to the Bank of England are expecting a bit of a surge in spending. Apparently, there's 170 billion that hasn't been spent in sitting with households. Now, if there's a big surge in spending, that could have pressure on inflation, and then, you know, we could see potential interest rate rises. But again, I suppose that would be for another conversation or another one of your shows.
Adrian, it's been fantastic to have you on the show today. Thank you for sharing your expertise
and
the expertise of Opus with us today. I guess the key kind of take out, just to kind of summarise all of this, is look, if you think you might be in trouble, whether it's going to be, when you reopen or your business currently as it looks right now, talk to somebody like you, talk to your accountant, talk to somebody like you to get an objective, third party kind of options and view of your business. And crucially, start the process
early as possible.
If you need to have a conversation with creditors, you need to be doing that sooner rather than later. It's no point going to a creditor, money is due and saying, I can't pay you. You need to preempt that conversation,
absolutely.
I guess, don't
people,
you?
Pick up the phone to somebody like me in the area that I operate in, or even your accountant, even your banker, to have that call. You must have that conversation because, once you're then be able to establish what options are available, then you can start having a clearer picture in your mind how to move things forward.
And I guess it's much harder to negotiate if you've actually defaulted on something, isn't it?
Well, that's another discussion we had.
Yeah, Adrian, brilliant. So on that basis, how do we get in touch with you? How can we pick up the phone and or email you? How do we get in touch?
Well, you can email me at Adrian Dr. Dante at opusllp.com, and I can be called on the landline 01622 804863, or my mobile 07590 229 384, and obviously I've given my website as well, and I'm on LinkedIn of course as well, so people can message me privately that way.
Perfect. Adrian.
Thank you, Adrian.
Great to have you with us today.
Thank you both. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much for coming on, and we'll catch up with you again in the very near future.
Look forward to it. Thank you.
Thanks. Cheers. Adrian. Bye.
Bye.
Tracy, what an action-packed show we've had again today.
I know. So much information for everybody out there. It's just been brilliant.
It's really useful, isn't it? Because there will be a lot of angst out there at the moment,
yes.
I think, with business owners.
Yeah.
I'm going to be able to reopen my business from the 12th of April. How am I going to do that? I'm going to need working capital. I may need to have a discussion with some of my creditors in the short term in order to get my business back on its feet properly. So the advice is all out there.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, we've always been out there. It's just that for us, we just hope that businesses take on board the necessity for them to get the help they need now for them to be, dare I say it, to be around in the future.
And let's take some of this stigma away.
Oh, definitely.
From asking for help.
Mm-hmm. Please talk about cash flow, because everybody has issues with cash flow.
Right. And let's not get caught up in everything. Restructuring, insolvency, these are big words. But at the end of the day, there's somebody like Adrian on the back of that, who's there to help you.
Yeah, there's lots of them out there, and that's what you need. You need people that know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And that's why I love doing what I do. I work with people like Adrian and people like Joanne. And the best thing about what we can achieve is to actually help a business that's in struggle to get back through the other side.
Better. Yeah, brilliant. Well, on that positive note, I think we'll draw the show to a close, Tracy. It's been lovely to have you with us again today, back in the studio.
Thank you. And we're back again on the 29th.
On the 29th, so 2 weeks' time.
Great. I know.
Well, on that note, it's bye from us, and we'll see you again soon. Bye for now.
Bye.
Academy FM Folkestone.
BizConnect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.